Crimes on Duval. It's Mike Yaja here, along with Skylar Chase. Keith is unavailable to record tonight. Don't know why, but we'll let him figure out his personal things. Skylar, how are you doing today or tonight?
I'm all right. Well, I mean, it could be the day when they listen, but no worries. I'm just at work right now, just killing time. Well, just hanging out.
Yeah. Has it been busy at Coastal lately?
Yeah, I mean, fairly busy, and like the past couple months of, well, like June was our busiest month of all time, and well, now our follow the owner Brian Sherrill, his wife just had their second baby, so now it's gonna be even busier in terms for me, just in these next couple weeks. But that's okay; it's still good.
Yeah, well, congrats to Brian on their new baby. I saw them post on Coastal. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's on the Instagram. Named Andrew after the Brian's late father-in-law, Amber's father. So
gotcha.
I mean,
cool. Congrats to them.
It's really cool that that they're able to do that.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, so we'll see. I'm sure he'll be swinging a golf club in no time.
Yeah, I saw that he was watching the golfers teeing off. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all they're watching anyways right now.
That's the only thing on right now. But in addition to golf, NBA and MLB will be coming back. We'll touch on both in a minute, but I want to start off first with the biggest news in the NFL, and we're in regards to good news. Derrick Henry. Well, good news for Tennessee fans. Derrick Henry and local Jacksonville product from Yulee High School got a 4-year, $50 million extension with the Tennessee Titans, $25.5 million guaranteed. Skyler, what do you think of the deal, first off, just in terms of Derrick Henry and Tennessee?
You know, I think it's a good move for Tennessee. I as a Jag fan, I hate it. Derrick Henry is everything that we want Leonard Fournette to be, and he's every bit of everything that Leonard Fournette is not in terms of just bulldozing everyone. I mean, Fournette can do that from time to time, but I mean, I'm not trying to take anything from Derrick Henry or Fournette, like, distracted, but that's a great deal for Henry, and obviously he wanted to be there. And you know, with the way the division's shaping up, you got Phillip Rivers in Indy and Derrick Henry in Tennessee. Those are two kryptonites, so you can already count four losses on the schedule for the Jaguars. So I think it's smart for Tennessee to do that. That's, it almost guarantees them a win against, at least one win against Jacksonville having him, because you know he's going to get 99 yards on one run each time. So what, like 160 yards against us?
He averaged a lot, that's for sure. He definitely ran wild a few times. Yep, he ran wild a few games against Jacksonville. But one thing I do want to touch on, you said that the Jags will have automatically four losses against the Colts and Titans. I disagree with that. I personally, I know everyone said, I even said it before, Phillip Rivers does wreck the Jaguars. But one has to think, it's mainly because when we went to Los Angeles and San Diego, out west is when he took care of business against us. Except the one game here in Jacksonville when he lit us up. I know what you're talking about, last year.
No, I mean, there's last year, and then there was the year in 2013, 2014, whatever, when we wore the teal, our first, like, with the black sleeves, the teal alternates. Mm-hmm. But then he started the game, like, 20 for 20. So, I mean, I would argue against you on the fact that it's just West Coast. It seems to be every coast with Phillip for us. But, I mean, he is getting older. So, I mean, there was some sarcasm, but it's I don't know what it is.
Hey, every bit of sarcasm comes with a bit of truth. So, I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, the truth is that Phillip Rivers dominates us, and there's no denying that. I don't know what it is, but he seems to have his best games.
He has our number, that's for sure. But so does Derrick Henry. Yeah. And as for Tennessee, I think they did a good job in terms of the contract status. They're paying less to Derrick Henry than they paid Chris Johnson back in 2011, 2012. I know I pulled up the numbers, but I can't remember what Chris Johnson was getting. But go ahead, Skylar, while I pull up that number.
Well, I was just going to say, where Derrick Henry really pays off is in the playoffs. You know, you saw it last year, just bulldozing everyone. And Tannehill only had to throw for like 130 yards each game. That's what the Jaguars were trying to do with Blake Bortles when we had that, and we were trying to run that system. I think Tennessee's got a little bit better format. Their defense isn't quite as great. I think they got rid of Jarrell Casey. I'm not sure where he went, but he is a monster on the defensive line too, and I'm thankful he's gone. So,
yeah.
But still, he's, you know, Derrick Henry is going to run over us, or run over everyone, really, kill time. And, you know, they have a pretty solid defense there as well. You know, Byard's, like, one of the top defensive backs in the league. And, yeah, they got Logan Ryan, too, I believe. And then they got receivers that are coming up with A.J. Brown. So, they got a pretty solid team. And it doesn't make me happy talking about them that much.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's gonna be a pain in the butt for the Jaguars for the next few years, guaranteed. But I just pulled up the stats on the the contract information for Chris Johnson back in 2011. He got paid 4 years, $53.5 million, with 30 guaranteed, compared to Derrick Henry, 4 year, $50 million, 25.5 guaranteed. It's a couple million difference, but here's the kicker. In 2020,
I thought he was a running back.
Touche. In 2020, the salary cap is $198.2 million. In 2011, you want to take a guess what the salary cap was, Skyler?
I'm gonna guess it was like 130.
Close, $120 million. So Chris Johnson accounted for pretty much almost half the cap space. Which is pretty insane. I'm sorry, no, 20, 30 million guaranteed, about a fourth of it. But still, that's ridiculous. And that's probably why I've got that mentality of you don't pay running backs. But speaking of running backs, the Jags have their own running back they've got to worry about now with contract status. What do you think this means for Leonard Fournette in terms of contract negotiation coming up?
I mean, it means that he's going to have more production. I don't think they're too concerned about it right now. Just in terms of, I think they have their mind made up on where they're going to go. They have maybe a number. If he reaches it, they'll offer a number to him. But I don't think it really changes much of our situation, you know, just because we're in a different situation. If it were a situation like 2017 where, you know, we're trying to decide who we need to keep more so, which, I mean, they decided not to pay anyone instead of, paid Blake, but that's, you know.
That bit him in the butt, and it's still biting him in the butt now. But I think I see what you're saying, where you think they've already made up their mind. I think he needs to have another good year, because you can't have two bad years and then two really good years to get a contract. You've got to be pretty good as much as you can. Now, 2017, he was really good. He led us to the AFC Championship game. 2018, he was pretty bad. Last year, he had his career year. He had, I believe, 16 – what did he have rushing yards? I think it was over 1,000 rushing yards, and he had 75 catches. And he did a really good job last year. Now, the thing is, why I feel like if Leonard Fournette gets another 70-plus catches a year – or I'm sorry, this year, maybe even 60. I'll knock it down because Chris Thompson's in town.
Yeah.
You have to consider giving him a good contract. Now, not to the point of 4 years, $53.5 million, or 4 years, $50 million, like what Derrick Henry got. But I'm thinking more like a four-year, $30 million at most, and that's even pushing it. Because I feel like he's got a lot more, and he's also getting paid a lot more compared to what Henry was making going into this year. Henry was on a second-round contract, much cheaper deal than what Fournette got to start his career in Jacksonville. So they've got to do all that.
With being in the top five pick?
He was getting paid, I believe, $27.5 million over the span of the contract. So that's what I stand on it. I think that you're going to get him probably $6 to $7 million a year if you do keep him. But I'm even then, I'm a little hesitant on giving $7 million to a running back. Especially one that you can easily replace every year, which is what teams are starting to do. Look at San Francisco. They've got five running backs. Now, granted, two of them one of them's out the door. Another one's going to be out the door soon with his request and Raheem Mostert. But the running backs are replaceable in the NFL, in my opinion. And that's why you draft one, you don't pay them the second contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see more value towards them, but I think the value is more so having the right type of running back for your system. Like, you know, how you mentioned San Francisco, they got like four or five running backs. That's because that plays into their system. Matt Breida and Telvin Coleman, You know, they're
Tevin Coleman. They had Jerick McKinnon before he tore his ACL. They have Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, like you said. Yeah, those are four running backs right there. All were arguably you could have put them as number ones on any other team. But they worked together. Granted, McKinnon tore his ACL and then turned into a three-headed monster with Breida, Mostert, and Coleman. And, yeah, so it's definitely interesting. Each team has their own scheme, and Jags have a power run game, and they got their guy. And we'll see if he decides to stay another few years here in Jacksonville. And so hopefully there's the team.
Yeah, see, that's where I think our system's flawed because we don't – I mean, Fournette, he can obviously be that type of physical back, but, I mean, he's always doing so, like – I don't know his weight when he came in as a rookie, but, you know, he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he's definitely lost some weight since he came in, for sure.
Yeah, so it's like he's trying to be – he's one of the faster backs in the league, too, just for his size. And he's got downhill speed, but I don't think he's physical enough to be a three-down running back. I mean, he is, but I don't think in this day and age you really can do that because defenses are so beefed up and they're always rotating so many different guys on the defensive line that you can't put a guy who's, you know, running so much against a fresh 300-pound guy and expect him, the guy who's been running the whole game, to plow over that fresh defensive tackle. It's not a smart game. That's why you have four backs in San Francisco and Kansas City has two running backs or whatever, but they also can use like their receivers as running backs because of their speed. So I think that's where you see is just running away from some of these tired defensive lines and such and just being elusive, but you're not going to be able to ground and pound until, you know, that till December and January and such. Like, and that's where Derrick Henry thrives because at that point there is no fresh defensive line. Your twos probably are starting for half the season at that time because the starting defensive line, you know, can't make it through a whole season. Most guys can. I mean, there are some guys. There's a lot of guys that can, but it's just, you know, it's too much wear on a human body to go up against, you know, so like just being so physical for that many plays in a game throughout the whole season. So it just I don't think. I get the system that they were trying to do. Tom Coughlin came in, you know, he brought that old school mindset. You know, it reminds me of a lot of like a 30s foot, like a football team from the 30s, just because we had a quarterback that couldn't throw. We had a running back and a solid defense. And yeah, that's how you win football games when the game first started, but that's not where we're at today. Yep. So
like you said, the game's evolved and now it's all about catching the ball out of the backfield, which Leonard Fournette did a great job of last year.
And but it's also because, a little bit more than that, too, in terms of, like, we've evolved from the running to a passing quarterback that stays in the pocket. But now, if you look at it, you know, RPO has evolved. So, it is – running is back to where it's important, but it's the run-pass options now.
Yep, you're right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. You could – like, I told my buddy Drew this after New England signed Cam Newton, but – you know, like people talk about how black quarterbacks aren't able to win, but you could theoretically have four division winners that were black QBs, and they're all going to do it because they take advantage of athleticism and running. So, you know, you got Kansas City with Mahomes, you know, you got Houston with Deshaun Watson, New England with Cam, and then Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And they're all going to run an RPO style system, they're all going to have success doing it. And you're going to see those are likely going to be the division winners because that's where the game's evolving. So, yeah, I mean, it's a faster game now, and the run's still important, but it's not as physical as you want it to be because of the wear and tear.
I see. Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned that you're saying the Texans win the division. Is that your pick to win the division this year?
They're obviously the favorite to win the division this year.
I don't know about the favorite.
I mean, with the departure of Hopkins, that I think that helps level out the playing field a little bit. But, you know, David Johnson's not a bad player, and they still have Lamar Miller, right, I believe. So that looks like almost how San Francisco, Kansas City got to where they got. They're going to try to do maybe a dual running back RPO system. They still have some good receivers out there. I mean, none as great as DeAndre Hopkins, but they still have some talent out there.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think the Texans are winning the division, but I don't
Well,
know
I
who's gonna
never
win.
said they would. I said they were just the favorite.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But oh, by the way, Lamar is a free agent. I looked it up. He is a free agent right now. So, anyways, enough NFL. NFL, we just hope that they do come back and are able to play. Speaking of comebacks,
You going to games?
when NFL comes around,
Yeah.
hesitant on it. We'll see. I don't know.
So,
We'll
I mean, we
see.
saw that the Jaguars announced 25%.
Yep. And
I think New England said 20%. So we'll see some more procedures come out until they announce that they're
oh
all
yeah,
going to
for
go.
sure.
But
Until the NFL gets their protocols in fact, yeah, we're going to see that over the next month and a half. But we know one thing, while the NFL figures out their comeback, even though they never really left, we got the NBA and MLB coming back within
and
by the end
I
of the
bet the NBA learned how to come back from the Kardashians.
Okay, really? No.
That Andy Pratt joke.
Oh my gosh. Anyways,
Marching in. Well,
which one do you want to talk about first, the NBA or the MLB?
we'll talk about your favorite first with the
Okay.
NBA.
All
And
right.
I mean, I think that's coming back. Is that coming back soon? Well, no,
ML
MLB is going to be sooner because it's just this week. But yeah, we'll talk
Oh,
NBA because it's
we'll
more
touch on
exciting
MLB.
right
We'll
now.
touch on MLB first, just because it's closer. So we'll go with MLB.
Okay.
NBA comes back July 30th, so that's what their expected date is. So we'll go with
So it's like a
with
week
MLB.
after.
Yep. So
Okay.
we'll go MLB. So Skylar, I know the only thing I know about the MLB in terms of their comeback is that they are only playing 60 regular season games. Is there anything you were mentioning something to me before we recorded that they're playing intramural? Could you
No,
go in
interleagues. Well,
interleague
yeah, they're
inter
playing intramural matchups right now. I'll just use the Cubs as an example. They have the Marquee Sports Network. That's what they show their games on. So you can actually watch Cubs playing each other on that sports network. It's no different than a scrimmage. But the way the schedule is set up after that, they're playing just their division, and then they have interleague matchups within, like, so again, I'll use the Cubs as an example. They're in the NL Central, and they'll have interleague matchups with the AL Central. So AL West will play NL West, NL East will play the AL East, and also with play within themselves. So, yeah. So you're right. They'll play intramural. They're playing intramural right now. It's funny because they even got like some of the like team equipment managers out on the field just to fill spots. But other than that, they'll start playing some real baseball here soon, I guess.
Okay, cool. So just to confirm, just to make sure, like for people not as big a baseball fans, because I can tell you right now, this is the time I'm gonna start watching baseball. One, because there's no sports on right now. Granted, when NBA comes around, I'll be focused on NBA more, but I'll still watch MLB because it's still sports. So just to make sure I'm getting it right. Right now, over the next week and a half, 2 weeks, they're playing intramural, so they're playing against each other.
Yes.
And then within the next after that, they start playing against their division teams only, and then they'll play interleague matchups. But as long as they're in the same, for example, state or region, not like
Yeah,
you're not going to
re more
see.
so region.
Gotcha. So
Yeah,
you're not going to
so
see the Dodgers play the so Red Sox. You're not going to see that.
no. Not
Gotcha.
until the series, if that
Gotcha.
happens.
Speaking of
But
playoffs,
yeah,
do you know if the
playoffs.
playoffs are going to be impacted, or are they going to still play in October and November, or I'm sorry, in September and October?
I think it'll be a little bit later.
Gotcha.
I have to look back at it, but I think it'll be like kind of the same, but a little bit later. The only one, like, what's interesting about, like, I know this is a little off topic, but like golf's on currently right now, and the Masters is typically played like a month ago or so. I can't remember. I don't even know
Mother's Day,
what.
isn't it around Mother's Day?
No. The Mother's Day was the Players, but then they
Oh, that's
switched it
right.
to May.
No, you mean switch
But
to March.
yeah, correct. So I think yeah. So the Masters is in April, but typically now
That's right.
it's
Masters are on Easter weekend, usually.
yeah. Now it's in October, so it'd be interesting to see that course with the foliage and such, but. Back to baseball. Yeah, like it's the regional stuff. And I don't think I'm not I'd have to look at the if it got pushed back or not. Obviously 60 games is not usual. So I think they were trying to keep it around the same time period just for that with by doing that. And then yeah, with the region stuff, like They'll play, like, there's actually the first game is an interleague matchup. It's the Washington Nationals versus the New York Yankees. And the Nationals will be doing their ring ceremony. I'm sure Keith will be super excited to watch that.
Of course.
It's been the longest off season for any World Series team pinned, except for like when like the league got canceled during the world, I'm sure, like World War II or sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so is it it'll be good to see that match and then all the matches following. But yeah, I'm interested about the NBA. See, I like seeing all the pictures of the courts and like the hotel ballrooms. It's
Yeah.
pretty interesting. Are they going to be playing in the hotel ballroom or are they moving it somewhere else?
So, from my understanding, they are going to be playing, I believe, in the Worldwide Center, like the ESPN
Or,
the Worldwide
yeah.
Center. Yep. That they are going to be playing in the Orlando Magic practice arena. That is what I understand. I don't know the exact specifics, but I really don't care. As long as they play these games, that's all that matters to me. Because obviously there's no fans, so I don't expect it to be, I don't think anyone really cares. They're just ready for basketball to start.
And it's not, it's what's I think is interesting, since it's the middle of the season, they didn't take all the teams. They just have top 20, maybe
So
not even that much.
22 teams. So what they did
22.
is they did the 8 teams on each side, so 16 teams, and then any team that is within, I believe, 6 games of the 8 seed. So there's only one team in the East, so
Yeah.
that leaves 9 in the East, and then the other, then there's 3 teams. I'm sorry, there's no, it's 8. I can't do the math right now, but either way, there's more teams in the West. And there is the teams that are in the West are going to be going head to head trying to make that 8 seed in the West. In the East, it's just everyone's fighting for seeding mainly. Like
Yeah.
four or five will rotate, 3 and 6 could rotate. Like it's all a bunch of seeding. But 22 teams are all going at it. Hopefully they'll start July 30th. My question to you, Skyler, do you think they'll start in 2 weeks? Because all you know how many you've seen some reports about how players have already tested positive for coronavirus. Some people are asking girls to come into the hotel rooms. There is people violating the bubble. Just do you think they're gonna start in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll start it, and but I'm sure some of the teams will look like the Nets and have like
Yeah,
some
they're pretty
guys you
depleted.
didn't expect, Bo Beach coming back or something like that.
That'd be great for Jacksonville and UNF.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, I mean, I think they'll start on time. I money's too important to a lot of these people, so they're not gonna not stop. They're gonna start on time, and if they have to stop, they'll do that. But I don't think they'll wait to start again. They're
Yep,
just gonna try to see what they do.
I agree. I think they will start, and I really am hoping they finish the season and the crown champion because this has been a very chaotic 2020, and I think sports will return the world to a little bit of normalcy. Granted, there's still other bigger issues at hand, but the sports coming back, like the NBA, MLB, NASCAR, football, hopefully in the fall, everything happening in the fall will bring the world back to normalcy and back to normal. Like, I'm just tired of looking on Twitter, some post about some lady not wearing a mask, or for example, another positive corona test, or the media is lying, or Trump saying something, or whatever the situation may be. I'm just ready for my Twitter to be flooded back with memes about sports, stories about sports, and like just fun stuff about sports that make sports
Yeah.
so universally loved.
Something
That's what I'm waiting for.
distracting from
Yep. Yep,
everyone being
exactly.
angry. Yeah, I get
Exactly.
it. And
But
but this is gonna bring up the angry sports fans. Like I'm
yep.
upset the Bulls aren't involved in it. But that's one thing I was wondering is like how will this affect the accolades given towards this end of the season? Are they only gonna count the statistics up till, the break?
I have
Or
no
they
clue. I don't think
because
they're I don't think they're worried about that right now. I think they're figured out trying to make
Well,
the
I'm
season
worried
finish.
about that right now. That's why I brought the question, Mike.
Why? Why are you worried about it? What bull does it matter to you?
Kobe White. I don't
Oh,
know. I don't
please.
think he's
No, Rookie of the Year is going to John Morant. Don't give me that.
But Kobe was heating up. So, I mean, I wish he would have, like, you know, that's the thing. This people are going to see Ja going and Zion. I'm a little Zion just left for personal reasons, yep. But he'll be back, I'm sure, at some point. But, yeah, I mean, that's what upsets me. I was like, Kobe was starting to find his groove. And, I mean, they didn't start him until, like, and then they started starting him because he had a really good February. And then everything went down. But so it was a little disappointing. But so I had to wait even longer now to see the Bulls play. And
you may have to wait around until Christmas time. So that's another thing what I'm very interested with the NBA. Although everyone's focusing on this season, trying to finish this season, they're still worried about the next season on how that's going to impact for example, the NBA draft, NBA lottery, NBA free agency, NBA start of the season. Like, there's so much that still needs to be figured out by the NBA and the NBPA, the Players Association. Yeah. So that's still to be determined. But right now, I guess their main focus is getting the season underway, which is what I think everyone wants to see.
Yeah, and everyone wants to make the money back, too.
Yep.
It's just like every other business out here that's had to close down. Yeah. They're not used to it, and they're just trying to find ways to keep it going. But, yeah, that will be interesting to see how some of these players just turn around. Like, whoever goes to the finals, they're not going to be as well-rested as they normally would.
Yeah, that's true. It's maybe back-to-back. You never know.
It's going to be the first time for a lot of these players playing, like, that competitive since, like, you know, they left college ball and had to go to, like, a combine and then –
It's going to be very interesting, and I cannot wait. Hopefully, we can get it done. It's going to be very cool. Hopefully, it works out.
I'm sure, with all this, though, too, I'm sure you can expect, like, heavier sophomore slumps from, like, Ja Morant and Zion, but not Kobe because he's resting right now. So
maybe we'll see. Maybe this helps the rookies now keep their momentum going into next season. You never know. We'll see. This has definitely been a weird sports year.
They're also playing better competition right now, besides anyone who plays the Nets.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But right now, so in regards to comebacks, and hopefully they play the NBA, and hopefully the MLB can finish playing, well, start and finish playing. So just an update for fall sports. The MEAC suspended fall sports indefinitely. The reason why I bring that up is because Bethune-Cookman, a local school, is impacted. They are in the MEAC conference, and they are no longer, as of right now, expected to play fall sports in 2020. Now, the reason why this is such a big deal is that this is another D1 school or conference canceling fall sports indefinitely, joining the Ivy League and the Patriots League. Now, granted, Skylar, these are FCS schools, so they are pretty much...
So the money's not involved as much.
But... Exactly. Money's not there, but they are still being impacted. Now, Skylar, now that there's three D1 FCS schools suspending fall sports indefinitely, do you think college football in D1 FBS level, for example, the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big Ten, the MAC, all these schools, do you think they're playing this year in 2020?
I think college football is one of the things not going to be played this year. You can't ask these unpaid amateur athletes to do that. You know, the kids aren't even allowed on campus, and they're going to have these kids on campus just to play sports. And I understand they announced that they're going to probably play just conference only, but –
I've seen that conference only thing, and that's what their goal is. Hopefully, just get some games in. But I agree with you on that. I don't think that you can force kids to play, especially that you're not paying them.
I mean, that's already the NCAA is already like the biggest form of slavery in a sense right now.
It's the biggest hypocritical organization in the entire world.
And I use that term slavery, like slave loosely, obviously, because there's real-life slavery still happening in terms of child trafficking and actual human trafficking and such. But
Wayfair?
You know, what was that?
Wayfair? Have you seen the stuff that's going on with Wayfair?
Yeah, I've seen that. We won't get started on that. Yeah, that's... the Washington football team or anything like that.
Yeah, no, we're not going into that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, these kids already put their – bodies through so much. I mean, DJ Hayden, current Jaguars cornerback, almost died when he was in college because, you know, of the injury. Like, so the game's deadly enough, and you're adding a virus on it that, I mean, some people feel confident about being around, out and about, but, like, it's weird. It's a weird situation for sure. If you say to the players, hey, you have a choice here, and they want to make the choice to play, then I don't see anything too wrong with that. Like, if, you know, you might miss some stars here and there, but I don't really foresee any student really choosing that option unless if, like, you know, if you sit out, that could obviously ruin, like, drop your draft stock. But so, I mean, it's really, really weird because these are big life decisions for these kids too. And the NCAA is only wanting to do it, obviously, like we mentioned, to make money and such. But it just doesn't make sense if regular college kids aren't on campus, then why are you allowing these athletes this? Like, if you're gonna treat these athletes different, then treat them different, pay them, you know. So
yep, I agree. No, I'm putting, okay, so this is a quick question. Put a percentage chance, 0 to 100. Does
that they play?
That college football plays, yes.
I'm gonna go 37.
37.
Nice even number.
I'm putting it at 10%. There, I don't think it's happening, and I'm gonna be very upset. But
well, I mean, I don't think, I mean, 37 is not a high percentage, but I think the boosters will do everything they can.
Yeah, other than empty their wallets out to pay the athletes, that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like boosters pay athletes sometimes without, I mean.
Illegally, they pay them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, allegedly.
Allegedly, you are correct. We don't want to get sued, but allegedly athletes do get paid by boosters and whatnot, but that's another topic for another day. But
so, I mean, if it comes down to, like, a decision thing like that, you know, a booster might go, hey, Mr. Trask, you know, hey, we need you out there. Felipe's gone.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I think the most that they play, if they do play, is probably 6 to 7 games, maybe 8. I don't think they get a whole season. We'll see. I mean, NCAA has done some stupid stuff before and would not surprise me if they do force these kids to play. But even then, you can't force them unless you pay them. But I can tell you are wrapping up at work. But one quick question. What's going on at Coastal before we wrap up the show?
Well, I mean, besides the baby, I have some new involvement with Justin James, so we'll keep that under wraps for right now. You can y'all will see some of that stuff coming out in a little bit. But everything's just kind of rolling right now. We got a deal on memberships. If you want to do a membership right now, it's double the hour. So, like, our basic membership's $50 a month, and typically that gets you 1 hour. Now you get 2 hours a month, and silver for $75, you get 4 hours instead of two. So,
wait, what do you mean by 2 hours a month? You get 2 hours of
facility use.
Oh, facility use. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So you can do whatever you want with that. You know, whether you practice or play. You know, they're playing the Memorial Tournament right now on the PGA Tour at Muirfield Village, and that's a course we can offer to you. So if you want to play the same course that they're playing right now, that's something that you can do. And so, like, with a membership, if you know, depending on which package you do, if you have 4 hours, you can spend 4 hours in here playing whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna attest to that. Playing me, Keith, and Kevin, and Katie, because she was bored and she wanted to come along. Me, Skylar, Keith, and Kevin all hit some golf balls at Coastal. It was a pretty cool experience. And we had a good time.
That was Mike's first experience there, and I
kicked that was his butt. My first experience. Yeah, okay, I was awful. I had like what +24.
Well, you know, Mike, in your defense, you're for someone who just started, you're actually pretty good. So I mean, don't get too disgruntled or discredited, whatever the word would be.
Discouraged.
Yeah, but that one too. That you could throw that in there. All of those words combined. But
no,
yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've played a few rounds of golf, and then obviously at Coastal. Golf is the hardest sport to take up and learn. It is not easy.
I don't know about that. Like,
okay.
I mean, I would struggle so bad at water polo. It's not like it would be insane, but
we'll have to argue about the hardest sport probably later on.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be a fun debate. But
Speaking of debate, everyone knows about Skylar and I's debate about the best quarterback in Jags history. We are still working on that. We are going to get that out soon to everyone. We just wanted to get something out to you guys, our listeners, our followers, about what's going on in sports. Huh?
Give them some distractions since sports aren't on it. Maybe exactly. they'll like to listen to our voices in their ear.
Exactly. And I know some people may want to – some people have asked me, where's the podcast, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, we're working on it. Things have gotten a little busy for us. We're trying to pump out like once every 2 weeks. We're trying that. But right now, the last month and a half has kind of been busy for all of us. So we are working on trying to get a better routine going. But we want – myself, even if Skylar was not able to come on tonight, I wanted to get something out there. It would have been just a solo podcast. And we want to know that we want to let you guys know that we are working on getting more out there as quickly as we can. Stay patient with us. We're going to use our old mantra, trust the process. But do you have anything else, Skylar?
Yeah, like Mike said, just keep trusting the process, and hopefully we'll get some more content out for you, even though this dimes on Duval. That's our old mantra, but it still stands the same. So keep trusting us, and we'll bring the dimes.
Exactly. There you go. I like that ending. For Skylar Chase, for myself, and for Keith Manzi, who is at home doing something. Till next time, guys. See y'all later.